Chapter 96. Sub 2, from the reserve. The Brunswickers advanced to support Maitland's guards, and the Mitchell and Adam brigades established themselves above Haugomont, which is still in flames. Ney, in continuation of the plan of throwing his whole force on the British center before the advent of the Prussians, now intensifies his onslaught with the cavalry. Terrific discharges of artillery initiated to clear the ground. A heavy round shot dashes through the tree over the heads of Wellington and his generals, and boughs and leaves come flying down on them.
Wellington, good practice that. I vow they did not fire so dexterously in Spain.
He calls up an aide.
Bid them to direct the infantry to lie tight down on the reverse ridge slope, to screen themselves, while these close shots and shells are teasing us. When the charge comes, they'll cease.
The order is carried out. Ney's cavalry attack now matures. Milhaud's cuirassiers in 24 squadrons advance down the opposite decline, followed and supported by 7 squadrons of chasseurs under Desnitz. They disappear for a minute in the hollow between the armies.
Uxbridge, ah, now we have got their long brewed plot explained.
Wellington, nodding, that this was rigged for some pick time today I had inferred.
But that it would be risked sheer on our lines, while still they stand unswayed, in conscious battle trim, I reckon not. It looks a madman's cruel enterprise. Fitzroy Somerset, we have just heard that Ney embarked on it without an order, ere its aptness ripe.
Wellington, it may be so. He's rash.
And yet I doubt. I know Napoleon. If the onset fail, it will be Ney's. If it succeed, he'll claim it.
A dull reverberation of the tread of innumerable hoofs comes from behind the hill, and the foremost troops rise into view.
Spirit of the Pities, behold the gorgeous coming of those horse, accoutred in kaleidoscopic hues, that would persuade us war has beauty in it. Discern the troopers' mien, each with the air of one who is himself a tragedy. The cuirassiers, steeled, mirroring the day, red lancers, green chasseurs. Behind the blue the red before the green. A lingering until late in Christendom, of the barbaric trick, to terrorize the foe by aspect.
Wellington directs his glass to an officer in a rich uniform with many decorations on his breast, who rides near the front of the approaching squadrons. The Duke's face expresses admiration.
Wellington, it's Marshal Ney himself who heads the charge. The finest cavalry commander, he, that wears a foreign plume, probably the whole world through. Spirit ironic, and when that matchless chief sentenced shall lie to ignominious death but technically deserved, no finger he who speaks will lift to save him. Exclamation point, spirit of the Pities, to his shame. We must discount war's generous impulses I sadly see. Spirit of the years, be mute, and let spin on this whirlwind of the will.
As Ney's cavalry ascends the English position, the swish of the horses' breasts through the standing corn can be heard, and the reverberation of hoofs increases in strength. The English gunners stand with their port fires ready, which are seen glowing luridly in the daylight. There is comparative silence.
A voice, now, captains, are you loaded?
Captains, yes, my lord.
Voice, point carefully, and wait till their whole height shows above the ridge.
When the squadrons rise in full view, within 60 yards of the cannon mouths, the batteries fire, with a concussion, that shakes the hill itself. Their shot punch holes through the front ranks of the cuirassiers, and horse and riders fall in heaps. But they are not stopped, hardly checked, galloping up to the mouths of the guns, passing between the pieces, and plunging among the allied infantry behind the ridge, who, with the advance of the horsemen, have sprung up from their prone position and formed in two squares.
Spirit of rumor, Ney guides the forefront of the carabineers through charge and charge, with rapid recklessness. Horses, cuirasses, sabers, helmets, men, impinge confusedly on the pointed prongs of the English kneeling there, whose dim red shapes behind their slanted steel seem trampled flat and sorted to the sword. The charge recedes, and lo, the tough lines rank there as before, save that they are shrunken. Spirit of the pities, hero of heroes too, nay, not forgetting those who gird against him, simple and single-souled lieutenant he, why should men's many valued motions take so barbarous a groove?
The cuirassiers and lancers surge round the English and light squares like waves, striking furiously on them, and well nigh breaking them. They stand in dogged silence amid the French cheers.
Wellington, to the nearest square, hard pounding this, my men. I truly trust you'll pound the longest. Square, hip 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 hurrah.
Muffling, again referring to his watch,
however firmly they may stand, in faith, their firmness must have bounds to it, because there are bounds to human strength.
... Your Grace, to leftward now, to Spirit Zayatanon.
Wellington, good. It is time. I think he will be late, however, in the field.
Muffling goes. Enter an aide, breathless.
Aide, Your Grace, the 95th are patience spent with standing under fire so passing long. They writhe to charge, or anything but stand.
Wellington, not yet. They shall have at 'em later on. At present, keep them firm.
Exit aide. The light squares stand like little red brick castles, independent of each other, and motionless except at the dry hurried command, loose up. Repeated every now and then as they are slowly thinned. On the other hand, under their firing and bayonets, a disorder becomes apparent among the charging horse, on whose cuirasses the bullets snap like stones on window panes. At this, the allied cavalry waiting in the rear advance, and by degrees they deliver the squares from their enemies, who are withdrawn to their own position, to prepare for a still more strenuous assault. The point of view shifts.
Scene V, the same. The women's camp near Mont Saint Jean,
on the sheltered side of a clump of trees at the back of the English position, campfires are smoldering. Soldiers' wives, mistresses, and children from a few months to 5 or 6 years of age, sit on the ground round the fires, or on armfuls of straw from the adjoining farm. Wounded soldiers lie near the women. The wind occasionally brings the smoke and smell of battle into the encampment, the noise being continuous. Two wagons stand near, also a surgeon's horse in charge of a batman, laden with bone saws, knives, probes, tweezers, and other surgical instruments. Behind lies a woman who has just given birth to a child, which a second woman is holding. Many of the other women are shredding lint, the elder children assisting. Some are dressing the slighter wounds of the soldiers who have come in here instead of going further. Along the road near is a continual procession of bearers of wounded men to the rear. The occupants of the camp take hardly any notice of the thundering of the cannon. A camp follower is playing a fiddle near. Another woman enters.
Woman, there's no sign of my husband any longer. His battalion is half a mile from where it was. He looked back as they wheeled off towards the fighting line, as much as to say, Nancy, if I don't see ye again, this is goodbye, my dear. Yes, poor man, ... but what a had a temper at times. Second woman, I'm out of all that. My husband, as I used to call him for form's sake, is quiet enough. He was wounded at quarter brass the day before yesterday, and died the same night. But I didn't know it till I got here, and then says I, widder or no widder, I mean to see this out.
A sergeant staggers in with blood dropping from his face.
Sergeant, damned if I think you will see it out, Miss S, for if I don't mistake there'll be a retreat of the whole army on Brussels soon. We can't stand much longer. For the love of God, have ye got a cup of water, if nothing stronger?
They hand a cup.
Third woman, entering and sinking down, the Lord, send that I may never see again what I've been seeing while looking for my poor galleon, Joe. The surgeon asked me to lend a hand, and 'twas worse than opening innards at a pig killing.
She faints.
Fourth woman, to a little girl, never mind her, my dear, come and help me with this one.
She goes with the girl to a soldier in red with buff facings who lies some distance off.
Odd is no good. He's gone. Girl, no, mother. His eyes are wide open, a staring to get a sight of the battle. Fourth woman, that's nothing. Lots of dead ones stare in that silly way. It depends upon where they were hit. I was all through the peninsula, that's how I know.
She covers the horny gaze of the man. Shouts and louder discharges are heard.
Heaven's Hightower, what's that? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.